Thank you for downloading this William Hill podcast. You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts, or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall here this week to look forward to the Shenzhen International and the RBC Heritage on the PGA Tour. Mike Grennan will be back next week. He has given me a few thoughts on the Masters, his reflections on the Masters, which I'll get to in due course. But first of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Dave Tindall. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm good, Dave, yeah. Still on a bit of a high after last week. It was fantastic stuff, wasn't it?
Great tournament.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance from Jordan Spieth. First wire-to-wire winner since Ray Floyd, as you mentioned on the podcast, in 1976. And matched Tiger Woods' total as well of 18 under par back in 1997. Comparisons have been made with Spieth's performance last week and Tiger's performance back in 97. People, I think, forget that Tiger won by 12 shots, yeah, though, don't they?
Yeah, I'd still say Tiger's was more of a kind of like thunderclap moment, where Spieth is tremendous and it's exciting for the future, but Tiger's was still a, my goodness, because there was kind of no warm-up. I think Tiger was 16-1 that week. It's not like he went off 7-2 favourite that week. It was still like, well, we know he's going to be good, but we didn't expect this. With Spieth, I think we knew, you know, he was going to be very good. Maybe not this good, but but Tiger's, I think, was more of a kind of like, wow, shock moment.
And Tiger opened with 40 in that event, didn't he, on the first nine?
Yeah.
So I think that even though Spieth's performance was ultimately incredibly impressive, the way he resolutely held on throughout the event, held on makes it sounds like he was just clinging on. He blitzed the field, really.
It's the style, I think. When he kind of overpowered the course and dominated everyone, and everyone was going, look, he's hitting nine irons into the par five, where Spieth was more just kind of, you know, plotted his way around kind of thing. So in that sense, it's kind of less takes your breath away.
You're right. Tiger Woods was hitting his second shots from positions you'd never ever seen before at Augusta back in 97, whereas Jordan Spieth was just hurling every single 20-footer he looked at. His putting was incredible last week. What did you make to course conditions then? Because a lot's been talked about the nature of the course, and it wasn't what you'd usually expect at Augusta National. Certainly contributed to the above-average scoring.
Yeah, I much prefer this kind of Masters than the ones we saw in 2007 when Zach Johnson was plus one. That was terrible. That was just muted. There was no applause. It was just a grind. I much preferred this one. I said the only thing maybe because it was softer was it wasn't as brutally punishing maybe sometimes, although it's a bit kind of if you bet on a player and you see their ball dribble off the green, these were sort of hanging on banks, weren't they? They weren't going back into the water and stuff. So maybe that took away some of this kind of dramatic thrills.
They need to make 13 and 15 a little bit tougher, don't they? I remember when you came up short on 15, balls always used to slip back into the water there. It wasn't happening this year at all, was it?
And a few other greens as well. It was just kind of less punishing. And so obviously it kind of lacked that drama maybe on those holes. But I still think to hear all the shouts for birdies and eagles, just that feeling that someone can make up ground, like Dustin Johnson making three eagles, that was pretty special. It's exciting, I think. Obviously, you can't make it too easy. So maybe it was just a little bit on that side of the fence. But I think any Masters that's won around sort of minus 12, minus 14 is always exciting. This one maybe just a bit too easy for the players, if easy is the right word.
Mike was obviously focusing on McIlroy's performance, having put him up on the podcast, and he got him placed in the end, Mr. Greneman. He over the last 45 holes, the best player in the field, McIlroy. Yeah. But as you mentioned on In-Play Radio, I was on In-Play Radio with you on Friday, Jordan Spieth just applied scoreboard pressure, didn't he? And that got to McIlroy on the Friday, and that 40 on the front nine on Friday took him out of the tournament.
It's just the order that they went out in, wasn't it? If McIlroy got out in his second round first, then he wouldn't. I mean, when he set off, he was what, miles behind, wasn't he?
He was 14 behind, I think, yeah. Wasn't he?
So obviously, Spieth had got his second round in and stretched further clear, which made Rory think, oh, my word. But yeah, I thought it was a good stepping stone for Rory, this Masters. I thought he backed into like a top 10 last year. This time, he's never really threatened to win, but at least he was always thinking top five maybe once he got it going. So I think, yeah, now he's got an eighth and a fourth under his belt. I think next year, watch out.
Just before we move on to Shenzhen and the Heritage, any other players that caught your eye in this Masters for future majors or even Masters tournaments going forward?
Well, Dustin Johnson remains a bit of an enigma, doesn't he? Because I've always had him down as a kind of no for the Masters, but I think he sort of teased me more and his backers more than in previous years. I think he wants conditions like this, doesn't he? He'd want
another soft ground Masters,
yeah.
I think.
It was like a sort of Grand Nationals kind of analogy. But, yeah, maybe this is one of the best chances he'll get. But I don't know. I mean, Mickelson was there again, so that was good. I mean, I was on him anti-post. I was pleased about that.
Yep. The guy that I'd take out of it, Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, I mean, he'd obviously finished... He made the cut there twice as an amateur, and I was kind of kicking myself a little bit that maybe I wasn't on him, because I think at the time, when he won Memorial, I was thinking, right, Masters, because I knew he had those two cuts in the bank.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot about him in the build-up. He got a bit overshadowed, didn't he, by everyone else? But he went off about 66, 70, didn't he? Again, that might be the last time we see him at that price. But yeah, he's obviously... You know, as he's shown previously, he's really got a game for this course.
Let's get stuck into this week then. Two events for you to bet on. One of them on the European Tour, the other one the PGA. And we'll start off with the European Tour event in China this week, Shenzhen International. And Bubba Watson has made the trip over, and he's definitely the headline act. He's 7-1 here with William Hill. Alex Noren in his 20s. Alexander Levy is 25s. Emiliano Grillo, Jaco van Zyl, Pablo Larrazabal, Rafa Cabrera Bayo, and Tommy Fleetwood all 25s as well. And it's 33s bar. An eclectic mix of professionals here for this event, Dave. And from a betting perspective, there's a lot of deadwood in the field as well.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Dave, I think if Bubba is interested in half on his game, he's going to absolutely cruise to this.
Do you think so?
I think 7-1. I'm really kind of, wow. I really like that price. I'm surprised. Mm. I know people will say there was an event. Was it the Dunlop Phoenix? There was an event in Japan at the back end of last year where, in theory, he should have dotted up by 10 and didn't. But I just think it's not just the fact that he's the class act of the field. This course should absolutely suit him down to the ground. It massively wide fairway, suits big hitters. Obviously, it was the course where Alexander Levy won the Volvo China Open last year.
Yep.
In a very similar mould, isn't he? Big hitter, just likes to attack. So the only worry would be Bubba's head, is it in the right place? But I think handing over the green jacket, getting to a tournament, he's going to be the centre of attention. They'll all be fussing over him. I think...
You'll enjoy that, do you think?
And the fact that, yeah, there was an initial thought, oh, Bubba in China, what, he's going to say some like horrendous comment about the Great Wall of China or something, but he's been there plenty of times before.
Yeah.
You know, he won on his last visit to China, won the WG HSBC Champions, and the course designer was involved in both courses. They're pretty near to each other, I think, is that right, in terms of the geography of it? I just think 7-1, I think it's almost... If you play this tournament 3 or 4 times, he'd win one of them. So 7-1, absolutely.
Quick note on the golf course. It is Genzon Golf Club. It's the host venue for this event, which is the inaugural edition of the Shenzhen International. But as Dave's mentioned, it did host the Volvo China Open last year. The course itself measures 7,145 yards, opened in 1994 before being remodelled in 2007. Four par fives on the card.
Well.
Yeah, all reachable, Dave, which augurs well for Bubba. Water comes into the play on the back nine in particular as well. This is actually one of five new events on the European Tour this season. We've had a couple of them already. The Hero Indian Open and the True Thailand Classic. Still to come, the Mauritius Open and the the Paul Laurie match play later on in the season.
It's a surprising one.
Yeah, one of... We've got five new events on the European Tour. That's the only one in mainland Europe.
Yeah.
The others all across the continent of Asia. And, are you looking for a bomber then this week? Obviously, you put up Bubba Watson. He's your main bet in the event at 7-1, Dave.
Yeah, because if you look at that Volvo China Open, Levy won. Alvaro Quiroz was third. And that's actually Quiroz's best result since he last won that third. He's not had a better play since 2011. So clearly, I think big hitters, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying short hitters can't. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and
you can
lay up and a good wedge game and hold putts. But I think it's really there if you're a big hitter and on your game. And I say, Bubba, it's not like he's turned up at like the Hong Kong Open, which is like twisty and a bit more of a tight track. But it just seems it's absolutely made for him.
I think we've seen a lot of these events in China since it's become established as a place to go on the European Tour.
Yeah.
Favoured big hitters. Dustin Johnson's won in China.
Yeah, so the last two winners of the HSBC with a similar design is Bubba and Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise, I don't think.
Just the one pick for me in this event, I'm going with Byung Yun Ahn, who we've mentioned numerous times on the podcast. His form has petered out a little bit in recent weeks, but I think this is the sort of venue where he can get bang on his game again. Yeah. And at 40-1, I liked Byung Yun Ahn. Obviously, a player with immense talent and looks a European Tour winner in waiting. So I thought 40s was fair. If you didn't want to go for Bubba at the head of the betting, I thought 40-1 Byung Yun Ahn would be my pick, and I'd play him a point each way.
I totally agree. He's my second pick as well. I've got three in this one, by the way, Dave.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was number two on my list. Yeah, big hitter. I think he's kept making cuts, but he's just gone a little bit flat. But I think he played a bit better last time. I think it looks ready for him to maybe throw in a big one.
Yeah. I think the time off might have done him a little bit good as well, a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, he seemed to be just there every week, didn't he, for a while. But yeah, 40-1, I mean, he was going off at 25s, wasn't he, and stuff like that. And there's not an awful lot to beat this week. So apart from Bubba, I think he's more than capable of filling an each-way slot or, you know, cashing in on a slightly distracted Bubba, if that's the case.
Who's the third pick then, Dave, for you?
Yeah, fairly obvious one. You could probably guess it if you're thinking, who's someone we like on this podcast and who hits it a long way?
Thomas Peters,
yes,
is it?
Yes, well done. 66, yeah, I think I was hoping for 80s, but I was thinking 66 as a sort of bottom end. Yeah, I'll take that. And now he's come up at 66s. Yeah, he's not consistent yet every week, but... You know, pick and choose your tournaments, and this is an obvious one with his big hitting. You know, you could say he's very much in the Levy mould. Levy came here last year, hits it big, hadn't won. Maybe this is Peter's chance.
So yeah.
It's a fairly, you know, I haven't put a whole day's thought into this picking Peters for this event. It was like this is so obvious, I don't.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, is it thin slicing, that way of thinking, when you just go straight in on something? Rather than sort of go around the houses.
You know what, I like that sometimes. Sometimes you can go crazy.
I've fared better down the years when you see something straight off and don't overcook it. So, yeah, so my three would be Bubba, Ahn and Peters, yeah.
Yeah, I like Byung Yun Ahn. A couple of other names that are worthy of mention here. Morten Oren Madsen, if he was a slightly bigger price, he's 33-1. He'd definitely be on my mind around a venue like this. And he, whereas Peters and Byung Yun Ahn maybe come into this without the best form, he comes in with good form, lots of good form.
Yeah.
So he'd be one that I was looking at. Morten Oren Madsen and maybe Chris Wood, but he's been well found in the market now and he's 40-1. So Madsen may be the other one that came closest for me at 33s.
Yeah, at the same price, you'd obviously think as well, big hitter Nicholas Kolsarts would have an obvious chance. Although I think I put him up in that Volvo China Open last year. For the same reasons, and he absolutely bombed. He shot something about 77-75. So, thinking that's an aberration, I think this track must suit him.
What's your stake in there then? Are you having a nice bet on Bubba Watson this week?
Yeah, whatever the maximum for wins that we do.
There you go.
On this podcast.
There you go. 5 points.
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, 5 points, Bubba. Yeah.
7-1.
Because I kind of think he's either going to win it or not, or kind of not be top 10 or something. He might dawdle. But yeah, I think 7-1. I think in my head I would have put him in something like 9-2.
Okay. Let's move on to the RBC Heritage then, which is the feature event this week. Green jacket last week, the tartan jacket this week, and Jordan Spieth.
Is it played, I think? They call
is it, played?
Played
yeah.
That's terrible, whatever it is.
It does look terrible. 5-1 Jordan Spieth at the top of the betting. Zach Johnson, 14s. Patrick Reed, 16-1. Ian Poulter, 20s. Jim Furyk, 20s. Matt Kuchar is 20s. 25-1 and bigger the rest here with William Hill. This is one of my favourite events on tour. It's a belter, this. And even though some of the leading lights, they've decided to give it a miss after Masters week, it's still got the one main protagonist from last week in the field in Jordan Spieth at 5-1. Are you surprised, first of all, that he's decided to turn up here?
Well, not in the sense that I guess he'd already made his commitment and he's not one who would dishonour it by saying, look, I'm too tired, lads. I think he's a good guy, isn't he? And I guess, you know, win, lose, or draw, he would have turned up here. So will you back him? How often do they turn up? I can remember Zach Johnson coming here. And
not very often, is it? I think, Zach Johnson was the last.
Yeah, and he was tied sixth, wasn't he? And I remember all the build-ups and he's kind of exhausted and he won't be able to contend, and he still did. There's got to be some follow on. The fact that Spieth is in such good form, tiredness or not, I mean, we all thought he was going to be tired last week and didn't back him on that.
I think when you're 21 years old and the sort of character he is, he's so motivated just to win golf tournament after golf tournament at the moment, and he's got such a good relationship with his caddy as well. You get the feeling they feed off each other.
Yeah,
reading
some good stuff about him. He was like a teacher, wasn't he, in sixth grade, and just decided to.
Michael Greller, is it?
I think that's his name. Yeah, seems a good guy. Yeah, Spieth. I mean, Spieth. You can look at it from two ways. If you're a massive Spieth fan and he did you a favour last week, you might just want to play up some of your winnings, or you could say, thanks that he's there, then he's made the market a bit and got us some bigger prices on other players.
I like looking at the second way around and taking him on this week a little bit. Surely can't win every week, but I don't think 5-1 is necessarily a bad price on Jordan Spieth this week either. Let's talk a little bit about the golf course. It's Harbour Town Links on the Hilton Head Island in South Carolina, and it's been the host to the Heritage since its inception back in 1969, a par 71 measuring 7,101 yards, designed by Pete Dye with collaboration from Jack Nicklaus. It's an old style course, this one, Dave, which requires precision in terms of shot placement, and a tactical nous, I think, is key here as well. Length from the tee, not really an advantage, but finding those greens in regulations definitely is.
Yeah, they're really small greens, aren't they? And obviously, it's got the famous red and white lighthouse. It's just one of the sort of iconic little events, isn't it? It doesn't kind of blow your mind away like some of the bigger tournaments. It's just a nice little sort of cult little tournament, I think. And they've got the jacket and they make that noise, don't they, on them boats? They're going whatever all that's about. But it's part of the tradition of it. And the fairway, a lot of the trees sort of creep into the fairway, so you've got to shape your shots around them. So it's definitely kind of a ball striker's course.
Yeah, it's got its own little idiosyncrasies, hasn't it? You can be in the fairway and not have a clear shot to the green on occasion, which is strange. You've got to be in the right parts of the fairways. And these Bermuda grass greens, they are small as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're some of the smallest on tour. Yeah. So it has been a kind of horses for courses track, hasn't it? I think Boo Weekly won it back-to-back, didn't he?
Got a few of these old-style courses where you'll see certain players pop up at numerous venues. The one that I think's the most like this one is Colonial, really.
Yeah.
Where they play the Crown Plaza, you know, like a really quirky venue where your length's not an issue, but getting the ball in the fairway and finding small greens is.
And a lot of them love it as a kind of wind down after the Masters. It's just sort of like everyone's sort of a bit more chilled out and everything. So that kind of goes in favour of Spieth, I guess, in that it's not more like full on intensity. It's a bit of just a sort of breathe out kind of event.
I've got three picks here.
Yep.
I'm going to start off with Russell Knox, who I'm keen on at 50-1, 1.5 points each way. I'm going Russell Knox, pretty confident with him on this golf course, so having a slightly bigger bet than usual. He talked about how much the course fit his eye when making his debut here last year, when finishing ninth And he really is a perfect fit when you look at what he does well. He tends to plot his way around golf courses. He's not the longest off the tee, but does rank 52nd in driving accuracy, which is fair enough this season, and is 22nd in greens in regulation. And he's had a solid season as well, with third place finishes at the Shriners and at the Honda, and solid performance at the Valspar. Copperhead, a similar kind of venue to this, and the Arnold Palmer. You look at his last performance, it was that miscut at Texas, but he was first out at Texas, and we all know that the draw was a big determining factor in that event, so I wouldn't read too much into that miscut. Another stat that I like when you're looking for a winner around this venue is proximity to the hole. Because the greens are so small, I think it's well worth looking at not only who's hitting the greens in regulation, but who's getting it closest to the hole. And he's 10th in proximity to the hole on tour this season. I think he's a winner in waiting, and I think it will happen on a golf course like this. So I'll go Russell Knox, 1.5 points each way at 50.
Yeah, at the same price, this is my only tip in this one. There's a few I like, but I've kind of been headed off at the pass by the odds. So the one I like at 50s is Kevin Streelman.
Okay.
Obviously, last week he had great fun. He won the par three and then played really well in the tournament itself to finish 12th. Really solid effort, that. Three rounds of 70 and 72. He was third in driving accuracy, which bodes well. 10th in greens in regulation. Second in scrambling. Seemed to do everything well.
Yeah, it's nice.
So in my head, I couldn't really remember him featuring here. So obviously I thought, well, does he have a record there? He was third 2 years ago. So as soon as I saw that was kind of the green light to definitely go on in on him. And there was a little interview with him from that year where they said, how does this compare to Innisbrook, where you won, obviously? That was his first win. And he said, this was like a smaller version.
Yeah.
It was kind of the undulations and the sort of, you know, the eye, the way it fits.
I think it definitely does. I just mentioned that link within his book, Cophead, and I think that they are similar.
Mm. Obviously, the man who won there this year is Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
There you go. So Kevin Streelman, I think he's kind of now settled in, hasn't he, on the PGA Tour. I think he was a bit kind of out of his comfort zone for a while, but now he's won in each of the last 2 years, and I can see another win coming soon. And I think after the high of last week, I think he's just in a good place. I just think 50-1 was quite a fair price on.
He can go crazy as well, can't he, Streelman?
Yeah,
and rack up birdie after birdie.
Yeah. So as well as that third, he's got a 17th from the year before. So it wasn't just a one-off. I think he can play this course. He's cashed on each of his last four visits to Harbour Town, and it looks a good venue for him to continue his good play. And it's not the most competitive field, really, is it? I mean, you look at beyond Spieth, and it's kind of, you know, it thins out a little bit. There's some decent names in there, but I mean, the one I wanted to back was Poulter, to be honest. But I think everyone knows his chance is obvious. I mean, if Poulter can hit most greens in regulation at Augusta, that's kind of that idea that he's a rubbish ball striker. It's sort of is a bit of hard to. I know it's maybe not crisp and pure as everyone else, but I think he
was on last week, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think he kind of relished that stat, didn't he? I think without actually saying I can, you know, strike the ball, he actually mentioned that on Twitter, didn't he? He was like quite pointed, I think, to say that. So he just said his putting needs to sharpen up. I always like Poulter. I know his price will always come down inevitably after he's played well, but I always like to back him when the engine's running and he's in form. I think he can get out of sync, you know, when he's struggling, but once he's in form, get him. But 20-1 there,
just too short, isn't it? I'm going with John Hur as my second selection here, 80-1. I'll play him a point each way as well. Fair to say he's not quite realised that potential he showed in his rookie season back in 2012, where he won the Mayakoba and put together numerous other top finishes in that 2012 season. But this is a venue in which he excelled last year, finished third here last year after three straight rounds of 68 on the back of an opening round 71. So four solid rounds here last year. His iron play needs to improve a little bit this season so far, but he is 15th in driving accuracy, and you must drive the ball accurately at Harbour Town. 18th in strokes gained putting as well, which bodes well. He's not done that much this season, but he's made 5 straight cuts, which I like, which shows that he's still in decent form, making the weekend in his last 5 starts. And last time out, finished tied for 17th in Houston, which is a bigger golf course and maybe not as suited to his eye as this one. So I'll play John Hur, a point each way, 80-1. I think Mike might be on John Hur if he was doing the podcast.
Right.
I think he's the sort of player that Mike will like in this event, John Hur.
Yeah, I think I've had a little look at him in other events this year. I feel it's a matter of time before he throws in the big one and gets back in our sort of consciousness. Other ones I went close to looking at, Russell Henley, I thought this suits him, played well in the Masters. 33s was maybe just...
Can play well in the wind as well. We've not really mentioned the wind, but this is a coastal course, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it can blow, and 18 in particular...
It's famously wide open,
Wide open, but famously affected by that headwind. They can hit wonderful drives off the tee there, and if they go 215 yards.
There's all the sort of reeds in front of the green.
Yeah. It's a great finishing hole, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is one of the ones that you'd know in your memory and you can picture it. So there's some good... Yeah, there's some obvious... sort of course horses like Donald and Furyk, but they're just not doing enough of late to get me interested in that. I mean, the one at the front of the market who I do like, although I always think my each way price is 16-1, and if it's less than that, I get a bit agitated.
Yeah.
So Zach Johnson, 14s, I wanted 16s really. It's just his chances. Obviously, played really well on the weekend at Augusta, a pair of 68s to record his best finish there since his win. He just looks in good form. I think he's formed 9th, 20th, 9th. Mm. And he's played well here before, runner-up. It seems to me Zach Johnson, when he does win, he's often at these sort of prices. It's sometimes you get Kuchar at these sort of prices and he never, ever seems to win. But Zach Johnson might sort of win a few of these, like Colonial or
John Deere.
The John Deere, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yep.
And when you think, oh, is that any good? But then he wins or challenges at those sort of prices when his chance is obvious. So, if I was taking one.
At the top of the market.
Yeah, I say that and then I say, would I? Could you back Spieth? You could, couldn't you, really?
You could. I think
but I won't be.
No, I won't be this week, but I think you could. My final pick, I've got 3 picks in this event, is Brian Davis. I'm going to take a chance on here at 150-1 with Hills. I'll play him a point each way as well. I didn't do much here last year, but record at Harbour Town, very good over the years. He's made 8 out of 9 cuts at this venue, which is exceptional, really, given his PGA Tour career. It includes that infamous playoff loss against Jim Furyk back in 2010, where he called a penalty on himself. He's become known for that more than anything else in his PGA Tour career, which... isn't really a glowing endorsement of his chance this week. But he had an eye-catching 6 earlier on in the season at the Sony Open in Hawaii, where the wind can be a factor. And he only just missed the cut at Houston right on the number last time out. I thought he was well worth a few quid at this venue at 150-1. And if you're looking at the top 10 betting, 11-1 for a top 10 and 11-2 for a top 20.
Yeah.
Numerous occasions he's been around about that top 20 mark. So I thought 11-2 was pretty fair on the top 20 mark for Brian Davis. I think he might have only cracked it once, but he has, or twice maybe he's cracked it, but he's been there or thereabouts on numerous occasions in his career at Harbour Town. So I thought he was worth a go.
In my head, he seems to be one of these players who either comes nowhere or when he does play well, he can actually go as far as the top 5.
Yeah.
So that might be what is he, top 5? Sometimes it pays to think, well, when he does play well, he actually goes on to get a top 5, which...
28-1 he is for a top 5.
You might want to just...
Well, hopefully he'll get a place. Hopefully he will place.
Yes.
And like you mentioned, 28-1, betting him 150-1. That's not a bad option to play in 28. So you might prefer that option and double your stake on that rather than have the win bet, because he's never won on the PGA Tour.
No, he just seems to sort of get a bit dizzy, doesn't he, when he reaches the heights of looking for a win. But
does.
But yeah, that's a decent shout. I mean, if you were sort of given the task of, right, find Brian Davis a tournament to win or to bet on, you might pick 2 or 3 and this would be one of them.
Definitely, 100%. Some other names that I liked that I was very tempted to pick Daniel Summerhayes.
No
record here, which just puts me off slightly, given this is a really quirky track,
yeah.
And he's had enough attempts, Daniel Summerhayes. So he was definitely of interest at 50-1. If he'd had any sort of course form, I'd have been with him, because player that I really like. And Brendan Todd, I thought, was a big price at 80-1, given that he's short off the tee and he scrambles so well, and he can put well as well, Brendan Todd. So he was of interest at 80-1, definitely.
Yeah. Another Brendan who interested me was Brendan De Jong, but we're very short at 50s, yeah. And that's not a price for me on Brendan De Jong. I think I would never back him. I'll probably do it in the future. Someone will remind me of this. Yeah, I think 66-1 minimum for me on a Brendan De Jong. But just here, he obviously, it suits his game. He's gone into the last round in third once, in fourth once. So he's kind of, he's come to win his race a couple of times, but so often, as we've seen, never does. But he's definitely each way a possibility, but just not for me at 50s.
Okay. Do you want a free lunch bet this week?
I'll take Bubba against Brian Davis.
I'll take Russell Knox, and you can have Kevin Streelman.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Both 50-1.
Okay, isn't it that?
Seems absolutely fair enough.
Okay. Don't let Mike tell you he always is convinced that I railroad him into these free lunch match bets, but that one's a fair one, isn't it?
Yeah, I could say no. I would say no if I wasn't happy. No, I'm happy with that one.
Okay, let's wrap this up then by recapping the selections with the staking plan as well. First of all, in the Shenzhen International in China, which does start midnight on, Wednesday night, yeah. Thursday morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to obviously put majority of my whole week's stake,
yep,
across both events on Bubba this week, rather than sort of dabble around with every little bits and bobs each way. So 5 points win on Bubba. So that'll mean I'll just have half a point each way on the other two, Byung Hunan and Thomas Peters.
Yeah, Bubba Watson 7-1. Byung Hunan is 40-1. Thomas Peters 66-1. I'll take a point each way on Byung Hunan there at 40-1. And in the Heritage, just the one bet for you, Dave?
Yeah, just Kevin Streelman.
Point each way, maybe?
A sandwich each way. A meal deal each way.
Meal deal each way, yeah. I like it. I'm going with three selections there. Pretty confident with Russell Knox. I'm sure he'll take care of Streelman anyway. 1.5 points each way, Knox at 50s. A point each way, John Hur at 80-1. And 1 point each way, Brian Davis at 150-1. Thank you for your company, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, enjoyed it as always.
Mike Grennan will be back next week. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter as well, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at M Grennan. And Mike will be back on the podcast next week. And make sure you get your bets on, as mentioned, for the Shenzhen International by pre-tournament bets by Wednesday midnight. And you've got until midday on Thursday for the RBC Heritage. Thank you for downloading the podcast. You can get us on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, and, of course, on iTunes as well. And myself, Dave, and Mike are back next week for more. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.